Lucas on Life.
Happy Sunday evening. Welcome to Lucas on Life. I'm Jeff Lucas, and if you're a regular listener, over the last 7 weeks, we've travelled some miles. We've been to Turkey, and we've been looking at the locations of the seven churches of the book of Revelation. And tonight, we turn to the most famous, or perhaps infamous, church, the church in Laodicea. It was also to the Laodiceans that Jesus shared words that actually make up one of the most quoted and shared Bible verses, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. So who were these Laodiceans? Well, the citizens of that city were generally rich, wealthy, self-sufficient. A banking and judicial centre, Laodicea had a thriving textile industry. They were renowned for clothing made from local black wool. The city also hosted a famous medical school, which specialised in ophthalmology. When an earthquake in AD 60 destroyed much of the city, its people rebuilt it from their own resources, declining the usual financial help from Rome. Wealthy citizens sponsored rebuilding programs. One financed a new stadium designed for gladiatorial contests, while yet another paid for the heating of covered walkways and piped oil for massage at the public baths. The Laodiceans were well-heeled, pleased with their achievements and proud of their independence. And now, sadly, the church there was adopting the same independent philosophy. Jesus used local illustrations as he brought a strong rebuke to the Laodicean Christians. True repentance, turning to him again as their source, would bring true riches, not black clothing, but white clothes that speak of holiness and purity, an offer that was also made to the church in Sardis. And for a people so proud of their school of ophthalmology, eye salve would be given, enabling them to discern what was true or false. As I look back over my Christian journey, I realise that self-sufficiency has been a challenge for me. But when I don't walk closely with Jesus but still try to serve him, I end up with a handful of my good ideas that I'm just hoping that he will bless. So here's what Jesus said to the church in Laodicea. Here are the words of the one who is the Amen. What he gives witness to is faithful and true. He rules over what God has created. He says, I know what you're doing. I know you aren't cold or hot. I wish you were either one or the other, but you are lukewarm. You aren't hot or cold, so I am going to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich. I've become wealthy and don't need anything. But you don't realize how pitiful and miserable you've become. You are poor, blind, and naked. So here's my advice. Buy from me gold made pure by fire, then you'll become rich. Buy from me white clothes to wear, then you'll be able to cover your shameful nakedness. And buy from me healing lotion to put on your eyes, then you'll be able to see. I correct and train those I love. So be sincere and turn away from your sins. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If any of you hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with you, and you will eat with me. I will give those who overcome the right to sit with me on my throne, in the same way I overcame. Then I sat down with my Father on his throne. Those who have ears should listen to what the Holy Spirit says to the churches. Here's the reality that emerges from those words. Every day and in every way, we need Jesus. Those who know anything about buying and selling property often use the well-worn saying, location, location, location. Well, the city of Laodicea struggled because of its location. Those who lived there didn't have access to their own hot and cold water supply. Hierapolis, 6 miles north, boasted famous hot springs, and Colossae, 10 miles east, had ample supplies from a cold, pure spring that was delightful for drinking. But Laodicea had neither, and so was forced to pump supplies in via aqueduct. Water flowing through those pipes not only arrived lukewarm, but was also tainted by calcium carbonate deposits from the pipes. The pumped-in water wasn't cold enough for drinking, and it wasn't hot enough for bathing, and its tainted taste would turn the stomach. So when Jesus began talking to his people there about the sickening effects of lukewarm water, once again, he was using a local analogy that connected powerfully with their everyday lives. Jesus is looking for a church that is useful and effective. The problem with the Laodiceans was arrogant independence, and that's a subtle sin, but one that the Bible confronts. In his hard-hitting epistle, James rebukes those who live lives not fully given over to God and those who ignore the purposes of God as they make choices and decisions. He says, "Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow." You see, it's all too possible, having given our lives to Jesus, to slowly, gradually take them back again. So let's ask the Lord to help us to stay close to him, especially when the temptation to drift and become independent from him beckons. Let's go to Laodicea now.
Well, it's Laodicea today, this amazing site. Obviously, this is the place famous or maybe infamous for the fact that Jesus spoke about spitting them out of his mouth because their deeds were lukewarm. But he also says to them that those that he loves, he chastens, he disciplines. And it's really interesting that in the book of Revelation, there's so much wedding and love language. Jesus is described as the Lamb 28 times in Revelation, twice as much as his name is mentioned. And the church is called the bride 3 times in Revelation. In fact, the last image that we're left with is that of the bride. You see, this Jesus, who also promises in Revelation 24 to wipe every tear from our eyes, yet more words of love and affection and kindness. He loves us, and because he loves us and cares for us, that means that there are times when he will speak some strong words to us. I love the way that my friend Dr. Dick Foth describes what Jesus does and says to us. He says that the Lord, he puts it this way. Says, here's the deal. I'll leave my place. I'll come to your place. I'll take your place, and then we'll go to my place. And so because Jesus loves us so much, he calls us to make decisions about him and about following him. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Revelation 3:20, most famous verse, often used in an evangelistic context. And that's okay, but primarily and initially spoken to the church. He calls us to walk in purity and holiness. This area was big into textile production and still is to this day. They were famous for their black wool. And so Jesus uses that as an illustration. He says, I want you to be able to walk in white. And then this place was also famous for a center for ophthalmology, the treatment of eye challenges and problems. And so Jesus says, you need salve to put on your eyes. You need to see straight. You need to understand the truth. You need to understand the truth about yourselves. And all of this comes back to really us walking closely and in a place of dependency with him every day. We can't do this by ourselves, and that was never the plan. The plan was always that we walk in this relationship of love with Jesus. Which, yes, includes his encouragement and blessing. And part of that blessing, of course, can be his rebuke and discipline, which we like a lot less, but it's part of the deal. This pillar here, this was found. It was probably facing inwards, so it couldn't be seen. And you'll see the cross here. And then you'll see there's a menorah, the symbol, the Jewish symbol. And there's thought that maybe this is an arm, or it might be a shofar. If it's an arm, perhaps it's a symbol of strength. Very likely, what we do know is that this was perhaps created by somebody who was Jewish and then became a Christian. And they wanted that to be known. And thousands of years later, it stands testimony to the fact that in this location, someone wanted us to know that there were Christians here. Christians who were facing potential persecution. And so this pillar was facing inwards. It was hidden, as I've said. But Christians, many of them, we don't know, but we hope that many of them standing firm for Jesus, even in the difficult times that they faced. Here in Laodicea, in what was obviously a very major and significant roadway, here they had a major problem with water supplies. They didn't have their own water, and so they would have to pump it in, most commentators say, likely from nearby Hierapolis. But Hierapolis, the water there, it was problematic because it had heavy carbon deposits. And then the water had to be pumped in pipes into Laodicea. And by the way, you see all the Christian symbols here, these pizza-like symbols were used by the Christians in ancient times to just make, they were letting people know that there were Christians in the city. They're everywhere on this street, everywhere. Here, one over here, look. So this was a real problem. And so Jesus uses that situation that they faced every day of water that was insipid and nauseating. And he uses that to describe their deeds. Now, those words have been used to launch 10,000 sermons, maybe 10 million sermons on lukewarm Christianity. But I think we can be a bit more specific, because Jesus is saying that it's your deeds that are lukewarm. And many commentators believe that what he was saying is that you're involved in so much that is ineffective and useless. It's not doing anything to change the world. And when you think about it, why would Jesus want his people to be cold? I wish that you were hot or cold, because, see, hot water is good for bathing, cold water is good for drinking. And he's saying, I wish you were hot or cold. And so that would suggest that it's more likely that he's saying that all of the things that they were involved in doing, that they were just useless, ineffective. And that does really challenge us about all of the frenetic activities and sometimes the stifling traditions of the church that just get in the way of our mission. And we spend so much time, money, doing things that might not actually help us to reach our world. So as I wander around here in Laodicea, I personally am really challenged. I don't want to be someone who is dashing around doing God a favor with my bright ideas, which might not be useful at all, asking him to bless what never came from him in the first place. Now, that's not an excuse for inactivity, but rather it calls us to say to the Lord, it's your mission, it's your work. So what would you have me do? How can I best serve you? Rather than, here's what is my bright idea, and just automatically assuming that that's God's idea. If we don't stop and think and pray and take counsel, there's a danger that we could be busy, but busy doing stuff that he views as lukewarm. It's quite a challenge, isn't it?
Those famous words often quoted by preachers, those were words, as I mentioned earlier, spoken to the church in Laodicea, Revelation 3:20. Here I am, Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If any one of you hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with you. It's the verse that, as I mentioned earlier, it's launched a million evangelistic sermons, urging those who don't know Christ to open their hearts, minds, and lives to him, to invite him to come in. And that's fine, but let's remember Jesus was not addressing outsiders, but shockingly, he was speaking those words to the Christian church, the congregation there in Laodicea. He was calling his own people to invite him afresh into their lives. It's a shocking, startling picture that points to the Jesus who waits to be wanted. Roman soldiers were often billeted in the houses of locals in Laodicea who had absolutely no choice about their house guests. They were forced to feed and house the military. But here, Jesus, who embodies ultimate authority and power, was knocking and waiting for consent to enter. And if he's invited, the result is portrayed as a warm, convivial, shared meal. Once again, the message of Revelation is that ultimately Jesus wins, but in the meantime, he knows his people, longs to be welcomed by them, walks with them. And so the Christian family in Laodicea made a good response to his chastening call, at least for a while. There was a man named Sigaris who was to die as a martyr, became the church leader there. His example demonstrates a passionate love for Christ. But there were also arguments, including about the precise dating of Easter. And gradually, the local church in nearby Hierapolis became the leading church in the region. You see, the torch was passed on, and today the old city of Laodicea is in ruins and nothing remains of the church. We're all invited to a life spent at supper with Jesus. Let's RSVP. Respond, if you please. So we've come to the end of our 7-week journey to Turkey, and we've been considering the churches there. Tonight, the church in Laodicea. Jesus loved the people in those churches, and it's true to say that God loves everyone. Surely that's the core of the message of the gospel, the good news. And we should always remember that truth when we think about God or share our faith with others. But let's add a word of caution, because it's that same Jesus who brought such a strong rebuke to the Laodiceans. And he makes it clear that discipline is part of love, and it's not antithetical to it. Those of us who teach and preach should remember that true love, Christ's love, doesn't nod amicably when we make disastrous, rebellious choices. No, he loves us too much to just stand by and grant permission to that which he knows will hurt or even destroy us. Let's face it, in today's culture, that's not an easy tension to manage, because our culture seems to clearly suggest that love means allowing everyone to do what they wish, enabling them to be the best versions of themselves. But Jesus' love includes rebuke. And perhaps we're walking in a moment in our lives where we're struggling with his lordship in our lives. Let's know that when he calls us to say no to something that's destructive, he does so because he loves us, and because we love him, let's respond. See you next week.
Lucas on Life.